We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 377. Today's episode, tonight's ALCS Game 1 recap, is brought to you by SeatGeek. Download their app, enter promo code Bronx, and you get $10 off your first ticket purchase. Someone on Twitter tagged us in a tweet, and I think they put it perfectly when they said, not only did the Yankees go in there and steal Game 1, they went in there, they ransacked the place. They drank all of the beer in Houston. They stole that thing right out from underneath them. Exactly what the Yankees needed to do. Exactly what we said they needed to do. Game 1 with Greinke on the mound. You got to get this game. And my God, did they freaking get this game. Handedly.
Thank you, Tampa. Thank you, Tampa, for being the pain in the ass that you are.
We're going to have to send them something nice. We're going to have to send them
No. They blew that. Look. Unbelievable game by the New York Yankees. I mean, all around, it was the perfect game. Everything, they did everything right. Yeah. Everything. Everybody played, they played their role. They stayed in their zone, and they freaking executed. Every one of those guys executed. And it was beautiful.
Like you said, it was the perfect game. There was nothing that went wrong because no hard decisions needed to be made. Like we were talking, people were starting to freak out with Tanaka there in the sixth inning. It's like, well, how far do they let him go? Well, it didn't matter because the Yankees tacked on runs and they were able to go to the bullpen with a big lead. So that worked out perfectly. Gleyber Torres, they shift him to the three spot. That's talked about. Oh, is that the right move? Should they have left Gardner in the three spot? Oh, Gleyber Torres gets five RBIs.
The fact that people are making a thing about leaving Gardner in the three spot is hilarious.
But well, they don't like change. They see the Yankees dominate three games against the Twins. They're like, what are you doing shaking things up?
Yeah. No. Probably Gleyber in the three spot was the original move that probably should have been made in the first place. But
1,000%.
Gleyber is unbelievable right now. This kid, this 22-year-old stupid little
Wait, hold on.
Kid.
Are you sure he's 22
anything.
Years
I'm
old?
I'm pretty sure he's 22. It might be 21.
I think you're going to have to fact check that.
But they... you know, like all the names to come out with him, all the dumb idiotic things that the announcers say about him, he just goes out there and is a freaking monster. A monster. And I love it.
You're not going to be one of these people complaining about John Smoltz and Joe Buck, are you? Because I saw that also happening. Like, oh, well, the Fox announcers don't like the Yankees. Who really cares if the announcers don't like the Yankees or not? Like,
I mean, I'm not complaining about it.
I'm just so tired of it.
It's fun to shit on every once in a while. It is. I don't really care what they do. I just kind of expected this right now. Don't we realize that this is the Yankees versus everybody? We made the shirts. It's literally the world versus the New York Yankees. That is what it is. It's fine. Know that. Just we expect it.
That's how it should be.
Bring it on.
When the Yankees are going right and they're at the top, everybody hates them. So that's just the life that comes with the territory of being a New York Yankees fan. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't care. I enjoy. I sit there and drink up John Smoltz's tears because he feels like the Yankees stole a championship from him in 1996. And that is where it comes from.
Oh, yeah. He's butthurt for two championships. I mean,
the 99 championship.
They got smoked. But
And I think he would say, well, by 1999, the Yankees were the far superior team. But the 1996 championship, he's butthurt about.
It doesn't matter. You still face the New York Yankees in the ultimate game, in the series that decides it all, and you lost twice. And that's it. There are hurt feelings that go back years. It is deep-rooted hatred. I don't care. Good. Talk shit about us. Talk about Mookie Betts 5,000 times. I don't care.
Three random. It's just he crammed in Mookie Betts. Like, oh... Just like some people
Do
might not
have
known.
Do they have the same
known.
Agent? Like, is that what's happening here? Like, is something... Because he just kept throwing him in there.
Some people might not have known that Gleyber Torres is 22 years old. Other people might not have known that Mookie Betts is a good right fielder.
Right.
Yeah. So, and John Smoltz is there to just tell you about it. That's all.
Look, the Yankees dominated every facet of that game, from base running to fielding to hitting to pitching. Every facet of that game they dominated. And Boone, like you said, didn't have to make any really hard decisions. Just kind of, I mean, he made the decisions ahead of time. He made some ALCS roster decisions, which we haven't talked about yet.
But that's a collective decision. That's not a Boone decision.
I understand that, but there were also, with that, he made some lineup changes, like the Glaber moving him to third, shifting things around, stacking some righties, understanding that that's not really a problem in today's baseball. And especially for this game.
It's not a problem with these set of righties. And for these set of righties is good. It's fine.
But, you know, there was just a really a flawless amount of baseball that was played on so many different levels of play from every facet. And it was just a really, really impressive game going into a hostile environment, knowing that these guys are, you know, the favorites, obviously play so well at home. But I do believe that they also realized that they had an opportunity, that Zach Greinke was on the mound, and they realized that they didn't have to deal with Cole. They didn't have to deal with Verlander in game one. They had this guy who just came over there as the most awkward press conferences you could possibly have, and they're going to put pressure on this guy. And that's what they did. And they did it immediately. And they were hitting him hard from the first inning.
Definitely. I hate the talk about must-win games because it's so stupid. Every game in the postseason is a must-win game. That should be obvious. But game one was so important to the Yankees because of the Verlander-Cole situation.
Yeah.
And that they have them coming up in the next 2 days. So this was the game you had to steal. They didn't win a game in 2017 in Houston in that series. They looked terrible earlier in the season in Houston this year. So this was huge. This was huge to prove that, hey, guys, we know you were the best record. You got home field advantage. But now that doesn't mean jack shit because now we have home field advantage.
All this talk about home field advantage and being healthy or home field and all that. It's all
well, they still had to go there and win the game.
Well, that's exactly right. They had to go there and win the game. Healthy. They won the game.
Aided by our friends, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
And aided by health. Health. Giancarlo Stanton going out there hitting a freaking bomb. Look,
he'll relax now.
I'm so happy. Maybe everybody else will relax and actually just not talk about it as much because he's probably fine.
No,
anyway.
They still will next time he strikes out.
The getting him, I think, over the schneid with that one, hitting that home run is a big deal.
Is it off the schneid or over the schneid? I think it's off the schneid.
It is what it is. I don't really care. It is whatever I said it just was. That's how I use it.
A big moment in this game. Tanaka was absolutely cruising. I think he had 10 out of 11 first pitch strikes through his first 11 batters.
It's off the schneid, by the way.
Yeah, right. You said over. Yeah, it's off. So a big moment in this game came in the fifth when Bregman had a leadoff walk, and it looked like the Astros were mounting a little bit of a rally. It was a one-run game at that point. And Alvarez hits that shot to right field. Judge makes a running catch. And Bregman makes a bad base running play, falls down, and gets doubled off of first. That is, in my mind, the turning point of tonight's game.
It's tough to call that a turning point, but it's because it was already the Yankees were in control still at that point. But it was definitely a point I think that the Astros needed to have in order to make that a ball game, to make that to get back into the game. They needed that. They needed Bregman to come around and score off of a walk. They needed that to hurt the Tanaka walk. And that Tanaka walk wasn't just like, I'm fatigued, I'm walking a guy. First pitch was a strike, not called a strike. He looked good that entire time.
The ump was
all over the place. The ump was
inconsistent on both sides.
Yes, he was. But Tanaka did not look bad in that at bat. I thought he looked very good.
No, it was a good at bat by Bregman.
Yeah. So I'm not even looking at that as like Tanaka was showing weakness in the armor at that point, because I think he only had like, what, 50, 60 pitches at that point.
And he only threw 68 pitches.
Yeah, I think he had 52 pitches at the start of that at bat.
Well, it's not about weakness. It's about the Astros having life. They didn't have life at any point in that game.
But my point is that Bregman didn't really there wasn't like a life that was given to them by Tanaka, right? Like there was never that moment where Tanaka said, "Okay, I'm not pitching well."
A leadoff walk can be life,
right? But again, I don't think Tanaka, I still think he looked sharp at that point is what I'm saying. He still looked very good.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he didn't. He looked sharp the whole game.
And that's why he got out of it. I mean, he got that line drive. It could have gone either way. You never know. It's baseball. A ball could go to the left 5 feet, and that's a gap shot, you know? And then
or
there's
even
guys
if
running
it's
the
not,
bases.
Even if it's just a flyout and Bregman gets back to first base, there was, because he got two double plays, and that being one of them, he ended up facing the minimum through six innings. It was a lot of talk about Tanaka not facing the lineup for a third time. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have to make the decision because it was a big lead by the time that came up. But if it wasn't a big lead, it would have been really interesting to see what they did with Tanaka. And had he had a little bit tougher of an inning in the fifth inning, maybe he doesn't get through six innings at the minimum batters and you start to see Springer come up in the sixth inning instead of him just waiting on deck. So there's a lot of things that could have happened had that inning gone differently. That's why I say that double play, for whatever little sliver of hope that the Astros had, that was it. That got wiped away right there with that double play. Well, because then the next inning, the Yankees tacked on another run. They got the Glaber. Glaber comes up immediately and hits the home run. First pitch.
He's so good. We have him forever, too.
So it was like a 15-minute span in real time where Astros get a little life. Their fans are excited. They hit a ball hard, but it's a double play. Tanaka gets out, and then boom, Yankees home run. That's it. That's the game.
And Judge, I mean, not even a little bit of extra effort in that throw. Just a very nice, fluid throw, a line, and then LeMahieu with maybe his third pick of the game. I mean, LeMahieu is becoming a pick machine. This kid with he's got the backhand pick down like no other. I mean, it's from the ground up. He picks it every single time. He's been phenomenal with that backhand scoop. So he's been really good over at first, just gobbling these balls up too.
Yeah. Do you remember in the first game against Minnesota, he dropped that infield pop up?
Yeah, so weird. So weird.
It's like
it's one of those things that we were talking about. Like, oh God, is this a sign? What is happening? Because that does not go down.
That must have just snapped him back into reality and been like, all right, no, this is it. I'm not doing that.
So after that game, the next day, I went and looked at the replay because we were at the game and I don't know what the hell was happening at that point. I didn't even see it live. I remember looking at you and asking, I was like, did he drop that ball? And I think I probably just like went to go get another beer, assuming as soon as the ball went in the air, I'm like, oh, it's a caught ball. But you know, he drops the ball, then he picks it up and just goes right over. And he goes, my bad. Yeah. It's so simple. Just my bad. Like, so it was just like he kicked the ball or something. No.
What do you think Boone would have done if it was a 2 or 3 run game and Tanaka, would he have brought him back out for the seventh inning? He had 68 pitches. Yeah. He was utterly dominant.
Yeah.
There were barely any hard hits, all ground balls, ton of ground balls. He was owning the Astros hitters.
He was.
Do you think he would have let him face the Astros lineup for a third time in a 2 or 3 run game?
Well, when the inning was over, where were they in the lineup? It was
Springer was coming up.
Springer was coming up. So, yeah, I think he would have gone out there.
Here's what I think would have happened.
I think we would have had somebody ready.
If it was a 3-run game, which is what it was after, well, it was going to be a 3-run game and then they added on more runs. So if it was a 3-run game, I think he would have let him face Springer and then he would have maybe, depending on how that at bat went, might have pulled him and brought in a lefty for Brantley and then gone to Ottavino for the righties, Altuve and Bregman.
Yeah, no, I think he would have gone out there and then gone batter by batter.
I think it's a real thing, though. They don't want their starters facing a lineup for the third time. And by the look of it, I mean, you could not have been any more dominant than Tanaka was tonight. So,
but tonight was also a different case, though. You're facing the lineup for the third time deep into the game. It's not like you're facing the lineup for the third time.
Well, if you're facing the lineup for the third time in the fourth inning, you probably have gotten
could have base runners on. You would have given up some runs probably, but not you could still be pitching a good game and still be in the game. But the circumstances the way that they were tonight were perfect. He was deep in the game. There was no reason for him to. You have that arsenal, so you might as well use it.
Right. The only counter argument is use your eyes. Look at what your eyes are telling you. And your eyes are telling you the Astros are unable to hit Tanaka.
And that's why I think they still roll him out there and then go batter by batter.
Yeah. They're going to be very careful, though, every single outing. And it worked out great because they did have to use Ottavino and Britton, but Chapman didn't pitch. Chad Green didn't pitch. Canely didn't pitch. So their bullpen is ready to go tomorrow night.
Yep. Absolutely. No, and it's huge. And they can deploy it at will at this point because now you have another getaway day. You have another day off after this. You have Paxton going, who is the guy that you probably are the most confident in getting deep into a game, right? But now you don't need to. So here's going to be the
five
thing.
Innings.
Well, here's the thing you're going to look at, right? You see Boone, who has given him a little bit more rope over the past month and a half, and you've seen where he's gone deeper into a game. And now where does that confidence lie with Boone in the playoffs and Paxton? Where are they in that confidence range for the playoffs? Does he let him go beyond five innings? Does that happen? And then he lets the bullpen in? I mean, I think the game is going to decipher that. But I think I do believe that I think that Boone gives puts a little bit more confidence in the starting pitchers right now. If he sees that they're going well, I feel like he's going to give them that little bit more rope than a lot of people think that he will. Because I think a lot of people are expecting at any point, any set of trouble, they're going to pull him.
Well, that's what happened in the first three games in Minnesota.
I just don't think it's – I think when we're seeing Paxton go, if he's good, looking good through five, I think he'll go out through for the sixth inning.
No, I mean, they've said their philosophy – Boone said this a few times. Cashman said this a few times. And especially after what happened in the ALDS last year against Boston, they're going to be super careful. They're going to pull guys as soon as they see trouble. I don't see that changing.
That doesn't mean they're not going to roll them out there for the next inning. And have them start an inning because I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I don't think they're going to take a guy out because of that. I think they're going to let the guy dictate when he gets pulled out. And I don't think it's going to be far. I think it's going to be one batter, but I think that's still going to let him dictate it.
This might be an unfair question because this was not even possible in the scenario. But if it was a 1-0 game and it was this top of the seventh inning and George Springer was, or bottom of the seventh inning and George Springer was coming up, do you send Tanaka back out there? 1-0 game.
If it's a 1-0 game, they'll definitely be a lot more careful because Tanaka has been prone to the fly ball.
I think it'll be for any of their pitchers. They'll be a lot more careful. If it's a 1-run game,
it's a different scenario.
They're going to their bullpen.
Yes.
Yeah. And in a multi-run game, 2 or 3-run game, it's batter to batter.
But you're also looking at the matchups. You're looking at a guy. My point is the end all. The deciding factor is not going to be that these guys have gone five innings and then third time through, that's it. I don't think that's a real thing right now. I think that once you get to that,
absolutely a real thing.
No, not for being pulled is what I mean. I think that what they will do is they will allow them, if they're going well, to get into that and if they get into trouble, first sign of trouble, that's when they get pulled.
I think that's a mistake.
Well, I don't.
Why willingly let your guy get in trouble?
Because then you're going to, why willingly bring in Ottavino to walk a guy? Why willingly bring in Ottavino to put a ball over the plate like he did today to get smacked that could have very well been out of the park?
No, I'm not saying you know Ottavino who doesn't
looked
look, great.
Ottavino look great. Does not look good. So no. Why are we bringing in that guy?
Go to Chad Green. Go to Tommy Canely.
Andrew, there are players. You have to look at certain people and see what they're giving you in that moment. That's it. You just cannot. The same thing with
but
playoff
they're
Tanaka.
Not go, but they are not going to.
Bullshit.
They are not going
they
to.
They did tonight. Tanaka went out there for another inning. He was
they
out
did
there.
Not tonight. Another inning. He had faced the minimum batters.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm telling you, third time through the order. It has nothing to do with the inning number because it was the sixth inning, but it was he hadn't faced the lineup for a third time. That is what they look at. It's third time through the order.
Well, today you can't even say that because the game dictated what happened. So it's impossible to say what would have happened. But that being said, when they're going and you're telling me that why are we going to put a guy in a situation, but yet you're telling me that Ottavino is the guy to come in. Well, Paxton, who's been good all game and looked very good, and you're going to pull him for let's say he's dominated a guy twice. Now third time around, That guy's going to come up. We're going to take him out to bring in Ottavino just because it's the third time.
That's what they're going to do. I'm not telling you that's what I would do.
It's fucking stupid.
That's what they're going to do. That's what they believe. That is their organizational philosophy. I'm not telling you that's my opinion. I'm telling you that's the Yankees' opinion.
I think overall that can be part. That is their opinion. I know that. We've seen it play out. I think that when Boone is seeing a guy go right now in the playoffs, that he will give him a little bit more rope. I believe that.
I don't think he's allowed to. I think he has a collar around his neck.
No. You and fucking and Neil, you guys are way too far on the side that Boone is a little poodle being walked by Cashman. I don't agree with that.
I mean,
certain point he is, but there's also an organizational. There's a strategy, but I do believe he has enough leash to give to make a decision on his own.
I mean, we've talked to people. I've talked to people, you've talked to people, we've both talked to people who have more information than we do that say otherwise.
I don't really, doesn't matter to me.
Okay, fine.
Just like I'm going to use my eyes for the rest of my life. I'm never listening to nerds again.
Okay, well, that's why Dave Roberts is probably going to get fired.
Oh yeah, that's the same argument as someone else. Because every situation is the same. Let's look at the Dodgers and what they did. And just decide, because he didn't go by a number in a particular situation, the Yankees should do the same thing. Because there's so much relevance.
No, I'm just saying that organizations
want
their managers.
Because what Joe Kelly did on the West Coast and what Dave Roberts made a decision of has anything to do with what the Yankees do on any given day at any given moment.
They have the same philosophy, those organizations.
When you're in the playoffs, when it's do or die,
yeah,
you look at that situation.
Yeah.
You consider the numbers.
Boone's not allowed to.
You could, yeah, yes, he is. You no, consider the numbers that are given to you over a very long period of time. They tell a story. There's no doubt they do. But they don't tell you what's happening in that moment.
Do you know
that
what the good
is
news
the
is,
problem
though?
With the metrics?
The good news is, so far through four games in the playoffs, there have been no hard decisions.
You're right. I'm glad. I'm happy for that. Because that means the Yankees are doing things right.
Maybe the only hard decision that Boone had to make was pulling Severino after four innings in Minnesota.
What about pitching Tanaka in game one?
I don't think that was Boone's decision.
You don't think
that was not Boone's decision?
Boone has a lot. How can you possibly say that? It's his. He's making the decisions on the field. If not, yes, there's people. They're having meetings. Of course they are. That's every team ever.
I really don't want to argue about this right now because we know we've read
but
so much.
I don't
much.
Think you're giving him enough
There's
credit.
There's so much information and proof that otherwise that Boone does not make those kinds of decisions.
Okay, I've heard Cashman say the complete opposite of what you're telling me right now. I've heard him say this thing publicly as well. You're the one that tells me that Cashman doesn't lie. He's very honest with the media. He says that Boone has the ability to do what he wants out there. That's what Cashman
says.
Why
did he say that? He's not going to say otherwise.
He's said it a few times in press conferences. I've heard him say it in different interviews.
Yeah, he has not.
They
said
have
that exactly.
meetings. Right. But he's there for a reason. His
Boone
baseball,
was in the meetings.
His baseball acumen, his eyes, the way that he feels for the game, I think they trust it. And that's a big reason he's there. That in the relationships.
This is not what I want to be arguing about because we clearly disagree. And I'm right. I want to tell you guys about SeatGeek. With millions of live events, with millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there is a better way. You can search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. In an industry that tends to stagnate, SeatGeek decides to stand out from the crowd. And why is SeatGeek better than the rest? Just look at the App Store. Their app has over 50,000 five-star reviews, so you know the customer satisfaction is on point. They pull together millions of tickets from all over the web, and they rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. They color-code them so it's easy to use. You can find good deals just by looking, using your eyes. Scott, that's good for you. You love to use your eyes. You can use the eye test when it comes to the SeatGeek app.
Yeah, it's called color-coding. It's easy when you do, unless you can't see colors, then that could be a problem. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code Bronx for $10 off your first purchase. That's promo code Bronx for $10 off your first purchase.
So we didn't when we last recorded, Hicks wasn't officially on the roster and CeCe wasn't officially on the roster, but we assumed they were going to be on the roster, and they are. Do you have any problems with who they took off? They took off Voit and they took off Wade.
I mean, it's no, not really. You know, Wade, I would have kept on. It would have been between Wade and Maben, but I think that they believe that Maben is the better outfielder, and that's where the priority was, because they have enough infielders. I think they believe they have enough infielders to get by.
Do you think it's a little interesting that Maben got an at-bat late in tonight's game when that would have been an easy spot to get Hicks an at-bat?
Well, that's why I disagreed with you earlier, and I think they think he's going to be a starter at some point.
But then why not just get him an at-bat?
Because they didn't want to bring him in the middle of a game like that. They wanted to give him a full day of a normal, the warming up, getting ready. This is a guy that's gotten how many soft tissue injuries, and you want him warming up in the middle of a game to go out there and go out. That's not how he's going to be used.
It's just about getting his feet wet in live pitching.
He's had live pitching, not in a game, but...
Not in a game, actually, not in the ALCS.
Well, he might pull an oblique.
We might see him start soon because it's only one game. Gardner didn't look good tonight. He struck out twice looking, I believe.
I think Hicks is going to be used in. I think Hicks is going to be used at full capacity. If they feel like he's a better matchup on a given day, they're going to use him. He's on the roster. I said this before. If he's on the roster, they're going to use him, and they should, because that's what they believe. If he's not. At that level where they don't believe he's the guy that Hicks should be, then he should not be on the roster.
If he doesn't get in this series, then it's just an absolute waste of a roster spot. Just like Voit was a waste of a roster spot.
There's going to be that guy, though. I mean, that guy, especially if everything goes well, that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's a guy, like if your guy is Wade or Romine, that makes sense, but... I guess Voit, there wasn't any pinch hitting opportunities, so maybe that's a bad example. But if Hicks does not get in this series at any point, whether it's for defense or even for an at bat, or like you're saying, to start a game, then it was really a wasted roster spot.
Well, I mean, again, it would be him or Wade, so you wouldn't balk if Wade didn't get used. So what's the difference in?
But you just said they're going to have him start.
I said they could. I think they think that he's that guy. I don't think that they are going to. On today, like get him in there in the middle of a game.
What if it's a close game? Do you want them putting him in for defense?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he should be going in for defense. Definitely. I mean, not probably, definitely. If it's a one run game,
he's the best defender in the outfield.
If it's a coverage one judges.
Coverage
if it's
wise.
A one if it's a one run game, you want Hicks in center, Judge in right, Gardner in left field.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's not even a question. That's your best outfield.
Right. Maybe gotten at bat tonight.
That's what I just said.
I'm saying,
are you not listening?
I'm trying not to. But the difference is, that's what I'm saying. You're talking about defense, and I'm telling you that Maben gotten at bat. I'm agreeing. I'm saying that's a different scenario. If we're getting in there for just defense, and that's the only purpose.
So watching tonight's game and the way Presley, who what I said last episode is maybe Houston's best reliever, didn't look great tonight. He gave up a couple runs. I've realized, and not that this is like a groundbreaking take or anything, but if the Astros don't win all of Verlander and Cole's games, they're absolutely screwed. Because the Yankees, I think, can wear out the rest of their pitchers, whether it's Greinke, whether it's whoever they start in game four, or it's that bullpen, that I think the Yankees offense can wear those guys out. The question is Verlander and Cole going to shove for two games each?
Yeah, I think Cole's one of those guys that's probably a given. Like, you're going to get a good game out of him. But Verlander has shown signs of dwindling. And like, this is what we talked about in the preview of this series. Like, was that three days rest, or was that fatigue, or was it a combo of both? What was that? Did that game affect him in a longer term? Cause it could have.
Yep.
We could see things that happened from that game, more fatigue from that particular game because he was used so quickly that it could affect him later. You know, maybe it's not the beginning of a game, but maybe it's the second, third inning. We're seeing him, you know, not be as sharp. I think that's a very real thing. He's not young either.
I think maybe it means that instead of him pitching 8 dominant innings, he can only pitch 6 dominant innings. And that is a huge difference, even if it's just 7 dominant innings. Because if you can get into that Houston bullpen 3 outs earlier, what I saw tonight out of the Houston bullpen was not impressive. And maybe it's just a one-off. Maybe Houston had a bad night because the stats on the year said the bullpen for the Astros was good. So maybe tonight was just a bad night. But I saw the Yankees hitters wearing down the Astros pitching.
Yeah, I think the Yankees hitters are locked in right now, and I think they're in a very good spot.
All the pressure is on Houston right now.
It's all on Houston.
All the pressure is on Houston.
I mean, it was from the beginning. It was from the beginning coming out of that Tampa series. It was. I think the Yankees knew that, and that's why they were putting the pressure on. Everybody knew that the pitching didn't line up in the Houston Astros' favor, right? And the Yankees had an opportunity in game one to put the pedal down and turn that offense on and jump on Greinke. And they did that. They did what they needed to do.
You just mentioned earlier playoff Tanaka being a thing. You said, oh, we saw playoff Tanaka against Minnesota. No, this was playoff Tanaka.
Well, no, we saw him against Minnesota too.
He was so much better tonight than
he was phenomenal tonight. Here's the thing. Playoff Tanaka is just as good as he needs to be. That's it. Like, he's just...
A 1.32 ERA in his career postseason.
And he could have gotten deeper into the game in that Minnesota game, but the game didn't need to happen that way.
Well, they pulled him before he went the third time through the order.
Who gives a shit? Didn't need to happen. The third inning took care of everything. So you can't bring that into consideration. Numbers people will, but you can't. Because it doesn't make sense.
Well...
it doesn't make sense given the situation. And that's why so many freaking times these numbers drive me insane, because they don't look at what was going on a day.
None of the Yankee starters have pitched a third time through the order so far in the 4 games.
We've swept.
Tanaka pitched to one batter, I believe, extra.
Okay, so he did?
Well, one batter.
But you said, okay, so he did. He went into it.
He went into it, yeah.
There you go.
Because it was the last out of the 5th inning.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That one batter makes me right.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, they wanted him to get his all-important win in an 8-1 game.
Yeah, you got to have that. Playoff Tanaka needs those W's, baby.
Right, yeah.
You got to have those things. You got to have the baseball card stats to back you up.
Right. How else are the people who don't know anything about stats going to know if a pitcher's good or bad?
Well, that's the problem. The people that do know things about stats don't know if a pitcher's good or bad.
Because wins say if a pitcher's good.
Oh, no, because your eyes tell you. Because the playoffs. Because it's Tanaka in the playoffs. That's why.
So, for Paxton tomorrow night, do you think for Paxton, he's been a long time off now? The extra rest for Paxton.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He's going to be on 8 days rest. Tomorrow's the 9th day. That worrisome at all?
I mean, I think it's a consideration. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. I mean, when I look at Paxton and the times that he worries me is when he can't find the strike zone. And you know, again, this is something we touched on. But when he is not around the plate, he's a different guy, just a very different guy. And this team, this Astros team is patient. They will work the count. They will make him throw strikes. And if he's not aggressive early, I think that, maybe that's the sharpness of that layoff could play into that. So that would be something I'll look at early into his outing is where he is around the plate. I think that's going to be a big factor to say if he's on or not.
Yeah, and if you think about Paxton's last couple of weeks, he had the butt injury, and then he had the one start in Minnesota. And then now an 8-day layoff, and he's going to be starting again. So he's not pitched a ton over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I forgot about the butt stuff.
He pitched one inning in that game.
Right. I put the butt stuff out of my mind.
So the last 3 weeks, he's pitched 5 2/3 innings total.
Yeah, when you're a pitcher, I think you want more repetition than that. You want more of that.
I'm sure he's done
consistency. He's
done side sessions and bullpen sessions or whatever he's been doing. But
you can't
live game action.
You can't replicate that. Yeah, especially in the playoffs in Houston.
I saw a couple people saying that because Tanaka threw 68 pitches, that maybe he could come back short rest for game four if they want to do that. What would you think of that?
I think it'll dictate the series. If they're up 3-0.
No, then no chance.
If they're 2-1, you're telling me it'll be less of a chance at 3-0 or 2-1?
I think the only chance that they do it is if they're facing elimination.
Oh, is if they're facing elimination.
Wait, no, they can't be facing elimination in game four. No. Okay. If they're down 1-2, I think they will
roll him out on short rest.
Yeah. Yes. Other than J-Hap? Like, of course.
Well, no. See, I'm going the opposite way. I think if they were in a point where they could put their foot on a throat, they would bring Tanaka back out. I could see that.
If they're going for a sweep, you're saying?
Yeah.
Why not then just save him? You know you're going to get game five at home. Save him for full rest where he's going to be hopefully lights out again like you just saw tonight.
You could do that too. I don't think it's a...
I don't know. They don't like Tanaka on short rest.
No, they don't. So maybe we just get rid of that one.
Yeah, I don't know if they like any of their pitchers on short rest.
I think
they didn't have to get to a game four in Minnesota, so we have no clue what they're thinking for game four.
Well, I mean, like, all the talk's been opener. If the situation allows.
I think it's going to be an opener. Like Jack Curry tweeted, it's going to be an opener. He has information. It's going to be an opener.
I mean, I don't care if he has information. It all depends on what happens in the next two games. That's it. Like, you can have as much information as you want about their strategy and everything, but it all depends on what happens with the bullpen in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole point about the bullpen. Like, you can't plan for an opener. You just can't. You could put it in there as a potential, but you can't say that this is the plan for game four is an opener because you don't know what's going to happen before that.
We'll see if Chad Green pitches Sunday's game because that could still line him up for an opener.
Yeah.
I bet they use him in Sunday's game. I bet he's like the first guy out of the bullpen.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I mean, there's that day off. That's the beauty about tomorrow now.
He'd have a two-day cushion before game four.
The beauty about tomorrow?
He could throw one inning in game two and then two innings opener in game four.
See, this kind of plays into the strategy it was for ALDS when they had Tanaka throw before the getaway day. They knew that they had their bullpen ready to go. And Paxton tomorrow, while they have more... trusted him to go further, but they have the embarrassment of riches of that bullpen right now. Like, literally everybody's
available. Yeah, everyone's rested. Even
everybody's
the guys
available.
Who pitched tonight.
Yeah.
Even the guys who pitched tonight are rested. They didn't pitch for 5 days or 4 days.
Everybody's available.
All right. You can't say anything bad about tonight. Like, nothing bad happened. So
it was a perfect game. It was a perfect game.
Perfect game. The Astros are in a must-win game for them because they're not going to go down 2-0 and then go back to Yankee Stadium. That's a death sentence for them. So all the pressure's on Houston. Yankees, enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Maybe watch a little football, listen to this podcast, and then get ready for an 8 p.m. start. Go buy some playoff tickets if you want to come to games 3 and 4. We still got those on sale. Game 3. The lovely MLB scheduling put that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Thank you very much, Major League Baseball.
Some people like that because they get home earlier in the day and they can cut out a little early for work. I think it might work for some people's schedule.
Yeah, great, beautiful. Come section 205, and then game 4 as well. Wednesday, that game is 8 o'clock. Then I forget the other time games.
They're all pretty much.
I think
8 o'clock. Saturday is dependent on.
The NLCS,
yeah.
If the Nationals ever give up a hit, then maybe they'll start to lose. So
they're looking freaking ridiculous right now. That pitching was top notch.
Any final words?
There's nothing bad to say about tonight. Tonight was absolutely beautiful. The Yankees did everything they needed to. And you know what? Like, the thing that we were talking about is they needed to take one. They had to take one. But now they're really in the driver's seat to take two. I really do. I think I'm serious. I think Verlander is at probably at his most vulnerable point we've ever seen him, ever. And he's been tough against the Yankees in the playoffs for a long time. But right now, he is absolutely on the wall. And the Yankees offense has more confidence than they've ever had. So now is the time to strike.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't feel good about going in facing Verlander.
I feel good. I think... that Verlander feels this
heat. Do you feel good, or do you feel as good as you can facing Verlander? Because I still think Verlander is nails. But you're right. He is vulnerable because of his fatigue, because he's maybe a little bit older. I mean, he's still had a great season.
He is older. He is older.
But he might win the Cy Young this year.
I saw him take two-story beer bongs when I was in college. That bitch is old.
You're saying he's old. He's the Cy Young favorite this year.
Fine. But you know what it is? It's October. You've played an entire year. I don't care what you have done all of those. I know you're a great pitcher. But when fatigue comes into play, it changes everything. When Father Time says, you know what, I'm about to show up, and this is what's going to happen, and your arm is not as rubber as you think it is or what it used to be, I'm going to stop that on today. And then all of a sudden you have an unbelievable offense and a 22-year-old phenom coming in there against you. You got problems. And all the pressure in the world is against him right now. All of it.
Hold on. Who's 20? Oh, Gleyber Torres is 22. Mr. 5 RBI man himself.
Let me tell you what else I love. Let me tell you what else I love. A-Rod picked the Astros.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
I heard him from my own ears.
No, he picked Yankees in 7. So I saw the same thing. It was a commercial break. He said, I give the slight edge in something. I forget what he said.
And to then the series.
No, it wasn't. They came back. They all picked.
Oh, so they came back and he's like, oh, Hal
put
called
his Yankees
me.
Hat on. He put a Yankees hat on.
So they came back from break. And Hal got in his ear and he's like, you're not coming to Old Timers Day in 2075.
Well, he's not on the payroll.
I know, but he's still expecting that invite at some point. So Hal got in his ear and said, you're not coming unless you pick
Maybe he did, but the official where the screen put up the little icons for each team. Ortiz and A-Rod picked the Yankees, and I think Frank Thomas picked Houston.
Interns run those graphics. I don't care about that. We know half the people that run those graphics.
Anyway, it's late. We're going to bed. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Let's go, Yankees. We'll talk to you after Sunday's game.
Let's go! Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.